So, Abby, I want to talk to you about living with integrity, which is actually one of the first conversations we ever had, I think.
Right.
And I was reading the book Dopamine Nation by Dr. Anna Lemke, which is, as the title implies, basically it's about how we're all addicted to various things.
Right. Yeah.
and what to do with it. She's a therapist, right? She's worked with addicts a lot in her career. And she's basically, in this book, she's giving examples of, you know, how that works, how people fry their brains on overstimulation and whatnot, and how to deal with it. But in this context, I was reading about something that made me realize why living with integrity is so important. And we're going to get to the integrity thing, but I want to lay out this story that I heard that kind of made the light bulb go off in my head. So, marshmallow experiment. Pretty famous psychological experiment. I guess most people have heard of this, but it basically goes like this. You sit a kid down in front of a plate with a marshmallow on it.
Right.
And you tell them, listen, if you can either eat this right now, or if you wait 15 minutes without eating it, you'll get a second one.
Right.
Okay.
Delayed gratification.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're basically asking them to delay gratification. And this experiments with this have been done. And, you know, it shows, for example, that basically the younger the kid is, the more unlikely it is that it's going to be able to resist.
Yeah.
But it also shows like different coping strategies the kids use to be able to resist and so on. Now, there's an interesting variation on this experiment where the child is before the marshmallow test, they experience either a broken promise or a kept promise. So the first stage is the researcher, you know, talks to the child a bit and then says, okay, I'm going to leave the room, but if you need me, right, if you need anything, ring this bell and I'll come back.
Okay.
And half of the study participants, when they ring the bell, nobody shows up until later. And the other half, when they ring the bell, someone comes, right?
Okay. So, like immediately, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they experience either, so they were promised, hey, you know, whatever, you need something, if you get bored, hit this bell and I'll come. And half of them experience a broken promise and the other half not. And then they're given the marshmallow test. And it shows that kids who experience a broken promise are much less likely to wait for the second marshmallow, right? And so first of all, this kind of makes sense, right? It's like, hey, if you were lying about the other thing,
right,
you might be lying about this. Why would I wait just to find out that there's no second marshmallow? I might as well eat it now, right?
Fool me once,
yeah.
Good on you, right?
Yeah. But this is then connected to, essentially, this is like a very small and mild example of a scarcity versus abundance mindset. And so, because if you experience that, oh, I can't trust the people around me, that immediately puts you in a more scarce mindset. So if you can't trust the people around you, it's like, oh, I have to look out for myself.
Yeah, right? True.
And I have to kind of, better to take care of my needs right now. And abundance, a big part of abundance comes from how well can I trust the people around me? Because if I have the trust that, you know, if I go off and do something else and I come back and someone will have made dinner for me, for example, if I trust that these people take care of me, then I can focus on other things.
Right.
Whereas if I don't have that, then I have to focus on, oh, I have to feed myself, right? So that's abundance and scarcity. And so this is another topic that has been researched with various experiments, one of which was that people were asked to read a very short story and then, you know, fill out some survey and do some, you know, test stuff, right? And the short story they read was either one with an abundance theme or one with a scarcity theme. So imagine that you take this, you know, you sign up for this experiment, you're welcomed in, they say, okay, part one, just like read this story. And one group read a story that's basically, here's the situation, imagine this, you just lost your job. But the good news is you have another job offer in a different city. And, you know, and you have a good friend there, and you will get a better salary than before, and it's a job you've always wanted, and the city that it's in is a great place. So basically, it's great news, right? There's a change, but it's all good.
Right.
The other half of participants read a story that was, you just lost your job, and really bad news. Right? It's really hard to find a job right now. There's only one opening available for you. It's in a city you don't like. The salary is worse, etc.
Wow. Painting the worst case scenario.
Yeah. And that's, but you just read that story, that's it. And then, you know, and then it's like, okay, fill out these questions and they do various tests, right? And they also then saw that even just this simple priming of whether you're in an abundant or a scarce mindset makes a huge difference to people's preference about, for example, in a scarce mindset or with a scarce priming, people would rather take a small reward right now than a bigger reward later. Hmm. People are generally more self-focused and less other focused and so on, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and again, that kind of makes sense. Like we said before, you kind of need trust. Like if you have a trusted network of people, if other people are taking care of you, if things are generally going well for you, that puts you in a position where you can focus on things other than your own survival and where you can be, you know, you can be charitable and generous and so on, right?
Right. Like when your needs are, base level needs are taken care of, yeah, then you have the ability to think beyond yourself, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Now, what does this have to do with integrity? This is where it hit me, right? Like, think about how even these small factors can make such a immediate and big difference to people's outlook and even people's decision, right? The decision someone makes. Now, this is why I realized, so for me personally, living with integrity has always been one of my core values. It's one of the things I strive to do. And for me, that also means like, it's not just something I like to say or think right about. It means like I'm willing to make sacrifices. I'm willing to pay the price for living with integrity, right? And so let's quickly talk about what that means. So a definition that you often hear about, you know, what does it mean to have integrity, is that like your thoughts, words, and actions are aligned.
Right.
Which I think is a good definition, but a bit, maybe a bit hard to grasp. Or
yeah, it's a bit like conceptual, right?
Yeah.
How do you bring grounded into reality? Yeah.
So the definition I prefer is that living with integrity means that you become the kind of person who does what they say they were going to do. And that is true externally and internally. So you tell someone, hey, I'm going to do this, you're going to do it. And internally too, if I tell myself, hey, I'm going to stop eating sugar, I'm going to stop eating sugar, right?
Right, yeah.
And it means that you are, there's also two sides to this, which is the one side is that you work hard on being conscientious, on doing what you said, you're willing to do things because you said so. You live in such a way that your word has weight, right? When yeah, you say something, it actually means something, right? But also, you're more careful about what you say. You don't go around saying yes to everything. You don't go around making promises left and right. You don't make a promise in the moment to make someone feel good, even though you know you can't deliver on it, yeah, right?
And like other people know this too, right? Because yeah, then they're like, if I could just get this guy to say yes, I know the deal is done, or like whatever yeah, they want you to do, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that's a... And for sure, right? Other people pick up on this. This makes a difference to how you're treated and how people see you and so on. So that, for me, that's it, right? Be the kind of person who does what they said they were going to do, both to other people and to yourself. And think about how this connects to these experiments we talked about. Because every time you don't do that, you give someone else the broken promise experience, right? Every time you're not reliable, every time you don't keep your word, you are creating that scarcity mindset for other people. And that affects the decisions they make. That affects their ability to choose a long-term benefit over a short-term gratification. That affects their ability to you know, maybe take a risk that is good for them in the long term versus just, you know, grabbing what they can right now.
Right.
And so this made me think about like the ripple effect that it has of whether you are a person of integrity or not could go so far beyond just yourself, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Because in these experiments, right, we're literally talking about a single priming event, right? It's a single broken promise makes a difference immediately. It's a single story with an abundant or scarce scenario that changes people's outlook or changes the decisions they make in a game or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that made me think like, oh, because so far I always thought of it almost like it's like a personal ethics thing, right? I just want to be that kind of person. But now I almost feel like, oh, you have a responsibility to do this, yeah, right?
Like, if I may interject, like,
yeah,
I'm thinking about the kids, right, with the marshmallow experiment. Mm-hmm. Like, A, like, you don't really know what leaves an impression on a child. But imagine that's the thing that the kid remembers for the rest of their life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the turning point in that kid's life, like, either yeah. turns into, like, a douchebag, basically, or this, like, yeah. whatever, into, what's the word? A person with integrity, I yeah. guess. I don't yeah. know if there's a specific word for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you were saying, the ripple effect thing, that was exactly what was going through my mind. I'm like, wow. Like, it matters way more than just whether this makes me feel good or not, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and also, like, of course, it's not necessarily lasting, right? It's not that... And I mean, I think there can be the single moment that changes someone's life, right? Which, again, I think we can underestimate how important even a single interaction with a person can be. So I read this story. Unfortunately, I've forgotten the names of the people involved, but I read this story of someone who, as a child, went to see a doctor because of some complication, something relatively harmless, right? But they went to the doctor when they were like 13 or something, and they had this experience with the doctor where the doctor came in and just gave them the feeling of, you're important, right? So the doctor wasn't like, even though I'm sure he had a lot to do, many, many patients to see yeah. and all that, right? But he gave this child the impression that, no, you're important. And even though your condition isn't anything critical or serious, I'm taking it seriously. I'm listening to you, right? I'm really here for you. And it was maybe like a 40-minute interaction. But this left such an impression on him that he ended up becoming a doctor himself, wow. right? Essentially driven by that experience. It was like, that was so important. And like essentially the healing I experienced here beyond whatever, you know, the putting a bandage on the thing and getting a painkiller or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the healing I experienced of someone really giving me their time and attention and taking me seriously and so on was so profound that it was like, I want to be that for other people, right? And so I think that's also it. Don't underestimate the possibility of a single interaction changing someone's life. But even beyond that, you know, that's probably rare, right? It's probably rare that that happens. And so it's not like, you know, also, you know, if you have children, you break one promise to your child, it's not going to send them, you know, it's not like, oh, a cut to the scene where they're shooting up heroin in the yeah. back alley, right? It's yeah. all over.
It's like 0-100. That's it. There's yeah. no in between.
It's probably not like that, but it's also, you know, especially people you interact with on a regular basis, that makes it even more important, because a single broken promise or a single kept promise isn't as important as this is the 12th time
right.
that you either keep or break a promise, right? And so for your family and for your friends and people you work with and just people around you, yeah, I think you might be surprised at how much of an influence you, just being you, can have, right? Either way, because like even if you never make a deliberate decision, you can be that toxic person that ruins everyone's day, right?
Yeah, good point. I've been that guy. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, you're reminding me of one of our accountability clients, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about, basically, like the guy works a lot, and at some point I was like, okay, so we have a great schedule for you. You're working a lot. I want you to have a social life as well. And we just started laughing, right? And he's like, oh man, most of my friends, like, they don't really understand what I'm trying to do. Or, mm-hmm. And it's usually like, oh, why are you working so hard? And, you know, that sort of experience. And we just sat there and I'm like, it's probably because they don't have someone in their life that has actually done that, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, think about what you're about to do. You're going to be that guy in their life. Yeah. For now, they might not support you, but when they see you do it, they'll be like, oh my God, this is possible, right? Yeah. So you, just by being yourself, being the quote unquote example of whatever it is you stand for, I guess,
yeah,
you can change other people's lives just doing it, not talking about it, right?
Yeah, and this is something I strongly believe where, you know, a lot of people, when they get interested in self-development, they experience some pushback from their family or social circle. And this depends on culture, right? This is different in, for example, I think in America, people are generally more open and welcoming to the idea right. of self-development. Whereas in most places in Europe, I think it's more like, you know, people kind of turn their nose up at it. And obviously this can make it hard, right? It's like you're, you know, your friends come in, walk into your living room and you have like a couple of books lying there. And often, you know, that's also a problem. Like, you know, you'll have I Will Teach You to Be Rich lying there,
right.
Which is a good book, but goddamn that title.
It's a great title.
It's like, So it's easy to for someone to be like, what the fuck is this, right? What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is some scam, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of people have that attitude where it's like, oh, self-help is all a scam, right? And so you experience pushback from people. And that can, I mean, what do you make of that? You can say, oh, man, nobody's supportive. You know, I'm all alone on this journey and so on. But I think actually that there are lots of people who are ready to pounce on an opportunity to become more growth-minded. Like you said, they just haven't had an example, right? They just haven't had, because most people just stay within the herd. So, you know, if those two people make fun of you for doing self-help, then the other three people are just going to be like, oh, I'm not going to do it then, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I'm going to stay quiet about it.
Yeah. And I'm going to stay quiet about it. But I think so many people are, if they see an example of someone like, oh, yeah, here's someone who is, you know, whatever, is really working on themselves. Here's someone who's really sincere. Here's someone who's honest, who lives with integrity, who does the hard thing. Like, actually, I kind of want that too, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also like you have to demonstrate it. You know, it has to be real. Like, if you're just talking about it, that's not enough, right?
Yeah.
But if they see someone living it, that makes a huge difference. And that also comes to, you know, I've always had this conviction that like role modeling is so important, because you can spend all day talking about all these ideas, you know, how to be successful, how to improve your life, how to be a better person, how to live ethically, blah, blah, blah. You can talk about this all day long, but if you don't do it, then it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, and that's also the idea of like your words having weight. So in one way in which your words can have weight is that you're the kind of person where when you say something, it means something, right? And, you know, in practice, for example, for me, I basically never make a promise, because for me, that's an unnecessary addition, right? Hmm. So if I say, hey, I'm going to do this for you, and you ask me, do you promise? Well, no, because I've already said it, right?
Yeah.
I'm already 100% behind this. Like,
yeah, true.
If I add, oh, I promise, I swear to God, I swear on my mother's grave or whatever, my mother's still alive, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Whoops. Yeah.
My grandmother's grave, okay, right, whatever.
Love you, Mom.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever, the point is, whatever else I can add, you know,
yeah.
May God strike me down or whatever, yeah. It's like, it doesn't, I'm already 100% behind it if I've said it. If I've just said, I'm going to do X, that's the maximum. I've turned the dial to the maximum setting, yeah, already.
You just made me think of it in terms of, so when someone says they promise, that means there's already self-doubt there, right? They're like, oh, I usually don't follow through on what I say, but this time I swear, you know, believe me somehow.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it seems to me. It's like, why are you adding all that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm also very careful about what I do agree to and what I do say, right? Because I really feel very strongly bound by my word, right? So that's one way in which your word has weight.
Right.
And in which I don't want to be someone whose words don't have any weight. But also the other thing is, your words have weight if you talk about things that you actually live, right? So this is the kind of thing where, you know, if you, I don't know, what's the example? You have a, you know, the professor who teaches about nutrition and health, but he's overweight,
yeah,
and sickly, you know, and you're like, well, okay.
Well, I believe you believe what you're, yeah, what you're preaching, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of a problem where I also don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be the kind of person who's like, yeah, who talks about stuff that I don't live, right?
Right.
Because ideally, yeah, ideally I can talk about it and I can demonstrate it so that, you know, so that it becomes more real.
That's one of the things I've been thinking quite a bit about you in general, whoops, over like the last week or so, right? It's like your actions are very deliberate. I find it's very easy to snap into like this autopilot mode where you're just kind of running on a haze, right? Like you're not really thinking about what you're doing. And then when I look at you, it's like almost every move is deliberate, right? Is that something you've like trained yourself to do over time?
Well, I would say that part of it is definitely that, you know, I'm like the overthinking type, right?
Hmm.
So I definitely have like a tendency towards that without having to have trained myself for it. But I think a big part of it is that I just have a very long running habit of of giving my own word so much weight. So I always think about what I'm doing and what I'm saying. Right.
Right.
And yeah, so in terms of what I say, I'm very careful about, or I don't know if careful is the right way, like maybe, yeah, deliberate, right? I speak very deliberately because I know that this is how I want to live. And also it's a habit, right? So it's a, and this is also something that, you know, it changes you as a person when you do this, because it's at this point in time, it's not like I have to remind myself, oh, by the way, I should do what I said I'd do, right?
Right.
And I told someone I'd do this, so I should do it. It's like, it's the opposite. It really, really pains me when I can't do something or when I'm late on something that I promised to someone or that I told someone, right?
Right.
It really pains me. Like, I hate it so much. I hate the experience of that so much, right? And to give you an example, there's a project that I wanted to make a cookbook with my cousin. And it was, and we did quite a lot of the work for it, but it was really poorly organized. I made some mistakes there as well. And I basically never finished that project. That bothers me so much. It bothers me so fucking much that I haven't finished that simply because I said I would, right?
Right.
Absolutely hate it. And like, part of me is like, I'm going to do a redemption thing here. We're going to do it again.
Right.
So I do not want to live as the person who said I'm going to do it and I didn't do it. I fucking hate it, right? So, and I think this is just part of, it's become such a habit that an instance where I'm not, where I don't have the level of integrity I want, like, stands out to me in a very, very painful way, right?
Right. It's almost like an identity crisis at that point.
It is, yeah, yeah, it is.
It's like, fuck, who am I?
Yeah, I really, I can't stand it. I really can't stand it. And so I think that's part of it, right? Because it is such a big deal for me. That makes me deliberate about what I right. say.
Actually, before you go on, there's one more layer to this. Like, why do you think that is, though? It's like, I don't see that as very common.
Yeah.
I definitely meet people like this. There's a lot of them, for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more who are like, oh, yeah, I said that. And like, who's actually going to show up, right?
Well, I think it is like a habit thing, right? Because I think it's a habit either way. If there's people who are habitually late to everything.
Right.
There's people who are habitually, basically they never do what they say, right?
Right, right.
And you just know it. You just know it. You're hanging out with this guy and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, let's do that together. Oh, we should, I'm going to. And you just know, no, they're not. They're definitely not going to do any of those things they just said, right?
Right.
And it's a habit. It's a habit you have. And we also, by the way, we have a podcast episode about habits of mind, right? Because this is a habit of action, but it's also a habit of mind. Essentially, habits are really like, you get better at anything that you do repeatedly. Hmm. You get better at lying. You get better at saying things and not doing them, right? It's just your normal mode of operation is, oh yeah, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff and it doesn't matter.
Right.
You have no expectations towards yourself. You know that other people basically don't expect it either. So it's just become, that is the most normal, most comfortable way for you to function, right?
Yeah, it's implied on both parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both know I'm bullshitting.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And it's the other way around, right? So you can live in such a way that there's absolutely no pressure. There's like no incentive. There's no internal drive for you to live with more integrity because everybody knows you're just bullshitting all the time and it doesn't matter anyway, right?
Right.
And it's really like, think of it as, because habit forming in terms of what happens in the brain is completely neutral, right? Like, we think that's a moral judgment is, this is a good habit, this is a bad habit. But really, it's just brain circuits, specific brain circuits. I mean, this is oversimplification, but right, if you imagine like a analogy that's often used is that, you know, the more you repeat a certain action, the more efficient that circuitry becomes.
Right.
And it's like that sequence of, synaptic flow in your brain becomes more and more polished. And, you know, it starts out like the first time you do something, it's like you're cutting a path through the jungle where you've never been.
Yeah.
And the more often you do it, the more easy it is to follow that path. And eventually it's like a highway.
Yeah. Right? It's like nicely paved and beautiful. Yeah.
But what's important to know is that your brain doesn't really know what a habit is. Like, your brain doesn't make a distinction between, smoking a cigarette, that's a habit.
Right.
But bullshitting and then not doing it is not a habit, right? That maybe you think that as a person. Your brain doesn't know the difference, right?
Right.
It is just behavior. And the more you do something, the easier it is to do, essentially. Hmm. And so in that sense, right? So someone who doesn't have that, and it's a habit you have to build deliberately, right?
Right.
So what I'm saying is that if you live with integrity in the beginning, it's something you have to remind yourself of. It's something that's difficult. You don't have a path for that in your brain yet, right? And the more you do it, the more effortless it becomes until it's just your normal way of being, right?
Yeah. You're reminding me of, I cut you off. Like, you are what you repeatedly do, right?
Exactly.
Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but a habit.
Exactly.
Will Durant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very apt quote for this, yeah. And so you were asking, you know, how come there seem to be fewer people who live with integrity than those who don't? But it just takes more effort.
Right. But it's just the initial switch, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure if we sat them down and had an honest conversation, it's like, well, do you enjoy every time this happens? It's like, no, actually, you know, I don't like it that people don't trust me. And sometimes when I'm really serious, like, nobody takes me seriously, right? Like, I'm sure that experience exists somewhere below the layers of self-bullshitting.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's also, again, this is essentially, I think, in large part, it's a cultural thing.
Right.
So if you grew up in a family, let's say, where this is a value that everybody lives, and kind of it's explained to you why, and, you know, that's part of how your upbringing, then it'd be much more likely that you do it too.
Yeah.
But I think most of us don't, right? Most of us don't experience
that. I got lucky in that regard. My dad is an excellent example of this. Mm. Full out, honest dude, and just lives with integrity to the point where it's like, why are you doing this? You know? It's like, oh, because I said so. I'm like, well, why the hell did you say it?
Yeah. Which is the other side, right? You can't, and I think this is also a good side of it. You can't be a people pleaser and live with integrity.
Yeah.
You cannot do both, because if you just go around agreeing to everything,
you're screwed.
You're basically screwed. So I think that's another reason why it's actually really good. It is a practice of honesty. And maybe this is another reason why it's rare, is that it requires that you practice honesty in the cases where it matters, which is when it's not easy, right?
Yeah.
Because the kind of honesty that's not easy is if, I don't know, your friend asks you for a favor and you really want to help them, but you know that you have other priorities at the moment and you have to tell them, listen, I'm really sorry, but no.
I can't do this right now.
And it'd be easier to, when they're face to face with you, to say, yeah, sure, I'm going to help you out, it's all good. And then later send a text saying, oh, sorry, I can't do it. Right.
Yeah. Oh, something came up.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. So, so it's a good practice for that too. So you were asking, why is it not more common?
Yeah. I was basically trying to ask, like, why do you have that experience, right? I was trying to figure out if it was something innate or not.
Right, right.
And you're right, and you were moving on from there.
I mean, look, no, it's definitely not, because... So one of the stages of human development is generally that at some point we discover lying.
Right? Mm.
And I definitely had that too. But also I discovered... Because I think, you know, developmentally we discover lying when we're like 3 or something like that, right? Pretty early. But also I kind of rediscovered lying when I was around 12 years old, maybe. And I realized that I can lie unflinchingly, which is, you know, I might be mildly on like the Asperger spectrum, right?
Right.
It might be one of those things where I can lie at someone's face and it doesn't raise my heart rate. It doesn't do anything to me, basically.
Hmm. So you're saying you're a great poker player, basically.
I might be, yeah. But anyway, I realized that, oh, I can just lie to people. And for a while, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. This is how I get what I want in life, right? I'm just going to lie about everything.
Right.
And I did that for a while. And then luckily, like my dad sat me down at one point. And, you know, my dad really didn't do that much active parenting. But that was one of the things where I think he picked up on me becoming like a generally dishonest person. And he like sat me down and gave me a talking to, which was good. And then later I made the decision that I don't want to do that, right?
Right.
But I mentioned this because it's not like I've always been like this. It was very much a deliberate decision. I'm pretty sure I could still do it, right? I'm pretty sure I could still lie very effectively if I wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, one experience I had with lying as a kid, right? So the experience I kept having is like, A, I was too stupid to like lie properly. So I would tell someone one story, another person another story.
You gotta keep track
of all this shit. Yeah. And it was the worst when everyone was together. I'm like, oh. And at some point, I was like, this is too much work, man. I'm just going to be honest. Like, screw this.
Yeah, for sure. It is definitely work to keep track of it all. But this is like the main idea with the idea of living with integrity. For me, this really hit home that, you know, it's an active decision you make. And the difference, the way I changed my mind here is that before I really thought it's a decision you make for yourself primarily. Whereas now I'm thinking, oh, this is actually I feel responsible, right? It's a matter of responsibility. Like the ripple effect you can have on other people by living with integrity is massive. And also, like you mentioned, right, the ripple effect you can have on other people just by living as a good example, by being the first person in your social group to take the step bravely, right? You can make such a huge difference to someone's life by doing this. And over the lifetime, right, over your whole lifetime, you have no idea how many people you're influencing. And it's pretty easy, I think, to be a neutral influence in others' life. It's also very easy to be a negative influence in others' life, right? It doesn't take much to make someone feel bad. It doesn't take much to ruin someone's day. But it also doesn't take much to just make it easy for someone to allow themselves to kind of let go, right? It's like you could be the person who makes a difference for someone who's, I don't know, who's a drug addict or something, where because of how they experienced you, they managed to make it another day, versus because of how you show up, they're like, ah, fuck it, I can just
I'm glad he's gone. Yeah. Where's the heroin at?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you could have a really profound difference to someone's life without ever knowing it. But yeah, I think it's much easier to have a neutral or a negative influence on someone's life. But think about the effect you can have as an individual if you make the decision that you become a person who lives with integrity. And even if you never deliberately reach out and try to change someone's life, like the ripple effect that your life can have on other people's lives, I think it's hard to quantify, right? Yeah. You might be shocked at how much of an effect that has.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, one of the things you had said, this is one of the first things we had a conversation on, right? It was because when I initially did Focus in Action, you, in one of the modules, you're like, figure out what your values are. And it's like this this quiz, basically. And mine, the first one was integrity, and the second one was like truth or something. I'm like, okay, fair enough. And from there, I started like picking up on certain things. Like one of the things that really stands out to me, right? I think this was sometime last year. Like right now, I'm not in the stage of life to tell the full story, but the detail was basically, you had gone through a lot to keep me and some of the other guys still on the team, especially because like none of your plans worked out. And it had been 2 years of frustrating for everyone involved. And I think at some point I was on a call with you and I was just like, basically like, you know, why don't you just like fucking fire, you know, me and this guy and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And your like casual response was, you can't only keep your word when it's convenient for you. Right. Yeah. And then you just continued on with whatever you were saying. But I was still just stuck there. I'm like, fuck, this is what it means.
Yeah.
Like, this is how you, you know, do it. This is how you be it, I guess. Right. Like the difference between being versus doing. And the reason I bring up this specific incident is because the number of people I've told this this specific instance to, right? And they're like, wow, I can't believe people like that exist. Mm. And from you doing that just casually in one moment, for me to like, it's spreading, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The ripple effect is real.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, you know, that specific idea, right? You can't only keep your word when it's convenient. That is what I meant in the beginning when I said, you know, when I say living with integrity is important to me, I mean it. It's not just something I talk about. It's not just something I like to think of myself as someone who has integrity. It's like that is when it matters.
Yeah.
It matters when it's not convenient. It matters when it's like, well, it'd be so much easier to not keep my word right now. That's the test, right? That's the test of your character.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, are you any less if you like still fail in the pursuit, I guess?
No. But that's also, you know, again, what do you tell people, right? What do you tell people? It's like, you don't tell people things that have too much uncertainty, right? Because it's like you can tell someone, listen, I'm going to hire you and I'm going to, bring you out to Lisbon and we're going to work together. You can't tell someone, I'm going to give you a job for the rest of your life and you're going to be a millionaire. It's like, well, that, I don't know if I could do that, right?
Right. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
So it depends on what you say again.
Again, going back to being deliberate about your words, exactly, right? The choice of your words.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a great takeaway, I guess, from just like this conversation so far, right? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if more people walked around being deliberate about what they're saying,
yeah, right?
Versus just going off the handle.
Yeah. And I think it's a worthwhile skill or habit to develop. So those are some thoughts. I'm also going to have more coming up about the Dopamine Nation book because some interesting lessons in there. But that's something I wanted to share. I think it's an interesting moment whenever something changes your mind, right? So I wanted to share that. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. So if you have any questions or comments on this, leave a comment on, if you're watching this on YouTube, right, you can leave a comment below. And otherwise, you can go to ikario.com/join. You can join our free community and you can have a conversation with us and the other community members there. And also, if you enjoyed this episode, if you know someone who could benefit from hearing this, why don't you send them a link to it? It will help them out and it also helps us out a lot. So thank you for watching or listening, and I'll see you in the next one.